I put them on as a shocker. Yeah, I got me some blue blockers. Yeah, Shane, no, that's a fact. I like the glasses. They go with my hat. So que pasa, amigos, and hey, señoritas, I guarantee you like these. Hey, muy bonita. I put them on as a shocker. Yeah, I got me some blue blockers. These are the ones that are really, really nice. These are the ones that are like a toothpaste.
Que bueno, que bueno.
What the hell is this? I mean, I know we watched it on YouTube before we came down here. Was this like a commercial, a TV commercial? What was that?
It needs no explanation. I suggest we go directly into the final installment of the continuing saga that was called Chuff Love.
Right. Where we last left off, what chapter did we leave off
basically,
on the story of Chuff Love?
The only thing we ever left off on was that I had hung out with her once. And that was it. That was like the last time I ever brought it up. Was the first time me and her hung out. And then since then we hung out a lot. We had some awesome times. Like went out to the beach, Fort Funston. And that was a rad day. And
she Fort Funston?
Yeah, she took me to Japantown, to Fort Funston and stuff. Do you know Fort Funston is? Mm-hmm. Here in San Francisco, it's like a cool place that people go to walk their dogs. And you can see all these people like hang gliding and all sorts of shit.
So it sounds kind of romantic.
Yeah, it's an awesome beach, all except right. that the beach is black from the oil spill from like 2 years ago.
That's not so romantic.
But yeah, I mean, that was rad.
A dead duck carcass kind of take away the whole...
You know, sometimes things don't work out between people. So there is no good way to end Chuff Love other than to say, it's not like I hate this person or anything like that. I'm still friends with this person, but...
You're taking the love out of Chuff Love and all that's left is Chuff.
Yeah, it's just Chuff Friend.
So are you accepting applications now?
Yeah, people can...
For more Chuff Love?
I think it's chuffmoney.oneup.com. Is that my one-up page?
Sure it is. It is now.
I will take nasty Photoshops or whatever, because I'm sure that's what most people are going to send me. But honestly, I'm not in the mood to go get myself back.
You're opening yourself up to something. I feel bad. Let's back it up one second and say what we are, who these
are. Oh, yeah,
are
that's
that
right.
Talking.
This is GFW Radio. Thanks for listening.
That's all we need to know, and this is the August 27th edition.
Right, and it's all the usual people here, plus special guests. We have our 12-year-old intern, Sammy.
Yeah.
Say hi.
Chris. It's Chris.
Oh, it's Chris. I'm sorry.
What's up?
It's first day.
We were just bringing
not so good with names.
Random rugrats in the building. but so, like, Anthony, the reason that it might backfire if you do this is because, I mean, generally, like, anything to do with women's always been highly suspect on OneUp.com. And this is because, like, you know how we've got, like, our most popular user blog section? And it's always, like, when you look down there, 9 times out of 10, it's, like, a pretty smiling girl who just happens to be the most popular blog. And you look, and the blog's like, hey, guys! And that's all it says.
Right.
But there's, like, 3 pictures. But so people, to make a point about that, started making fake accounts. They'd find someone's MySpace page where they could find, like, 3 photos of the same girl. And then they would make a one-up account thing and then watch how immediately they could get more friends within 10 minutes than they did in their entire, like, 2 years of posting and participating in the community.
This is so sad.
There was this other guy. We had a moderator called Zayroot. He's legendary.
Oh, yeah,
his nickname is Root, is a good way of saying it. And he, I don't know, I got word that, you know, via PMs and stuff, he was trying to get some of our female or supposedly female users to talk to him and stuff. He was the kind of guy where he would often, you know, he would tell us and aim about how, you know, he met some awesome girl and she only lived 3 states away. And then unlike the last one, this one had 2 kids instead of 3 and how it was going to be just fantastic, you know.
Wow.
So people started baiting him. They started making accounts and posing as women to get him excited in it. Pretty much worked, and then because they had trapped him that way, they had the chat logs
saying.
And everything. And I'm worried about you, man.
You're saying that I'm
setting himself up for heartbreak.
I don't actually. It's not like I would like.
Yeah, probably half the girls who write are going to be Sean.
That's the other thing is that in the end, I don't want to meet a girl like that. The whole thing of Chuff Love is that it has to be like I gather up the courage to go ask this person out or something like that anyways.
You're lying, though. I bet if after this thing goes up and you see a PM in there and you look, you're going to be like,
dude,
okay,
I'm gonna try
first question, are you biologically female?
I ain't going to try.
Or at least, are you now?
I'm not going to try to kick it to know, like, random users. I mean, especially...
Don't rule nothing out, man.
Especially if they're on local.
Like, hey, I'm trying
Anthony,
to set
Anthony's
you up right
no,
now.
Anthony's no Zayroot.
Speaking of random one-up users, I want to get this other thing out of the way too, which I didn't really think we were going to have to bring up again, but I want to because I'm still getting hate mail, so I'm ready for it to stop.
Oh, we should have brought these in, some of the responses of the last week's podcast.
The Anthony GFW radio feud. Folks, it's over. There never was one. You can stop calling us assholes in private emails.
Well, someone emailed Marcy.
It was
Ditter,
all a joke.
Who is the head of our sales department, right?
Marcy Yamaguchi.
Yamaguchi. Yeah. Did I say Ditter? Sorry.
You did.
I'm sorry,
different
Marcy.
Wow.
That's another Marcy we know. So she forwards this email to us and Simon, who's, you know, basically the big boss here. And it's like, what's going on?
Yeah, what's going on,
what's
guys?
What's happening?
Yeah.
It's an alarm. Because basically the letter said that we just pulled a coworker on our podcast and flogged the shit out of him and diminished him in every way we could possibly.
Well, look how sad Anthony's looking now, though. Maybe it's not a joke after all.
Let's
not start this back up.
I'm not thinking about that, guys.
What are you thinking about?
You're still thinking you're about back on your PMs, man.
I don't want to talk about what I'm thinking about, guys.
Okay.
Everyone's on good terms. If people just listened to more than 5 minutes of that last podcast, I think there was no doubt in their mind.
I made amends for it, too, this weekend.
Yeah, Sean did. As a matter of fact, I'm going to tell that, yeah. Sean made me promise on Friday that no matter what it was, I was going to go to his house and give him $10 for a present. It didn't matter what it was. I had to promise that I would bring $10 and give it to him no matter what it was. So already I'm thinking, and he told me that the market value of it is way more than $10. But he said the value to me is like above $400. Yeah, to me specifically.
Oh.
So already I'm wondering, like,
it's got to be a Star Wars toy, right?
So, I mean, I didn't know what it could be, honestly, with Sean. Honestly, it could have been like... Like, it could have been Star Wars something, but it could have been something, like, horrible. Like, someone sent him a Yaddle fleshlight or something like that. You know what I mean? And so I wasn't sure. But, yeah, Sunday I woke up really excited, and I went and got $10 and drove over to Sean's house. And the sad thing was, though, is that I saw it before Sean had a chance to, like, spring it on me.
Yeah, I just put it in the living room, and I was, like, playing Battlefield Heroes in the bedroom. You just, like, helped yourself in.
Well.
What was it?
I knew you were playing games. I didn't want you to have to get up. It was Amongst everything else, it started off with a 16-inch scale thing of Han Solo riding a Tauntaun, still in its original packaging, and then like a 14, 12-inch like re-releases of figures, including like Grand Moff Tarkin, and it comes with an interrogator droid, and like, you know, like all the shit. As soon as I saw it, I was like, the first thing I thought was like, fuck, man, now I got to go buy a new shelf. Because I need like a proper way to display, but it's fucked up because my roommate told me we can't have it in the living room. He refuses to let me go that far.
That's good though. That's like a good roommate, man.
I know, but what? It's gonna be like Why does he care? Let's say I know. I've always loved people that.
Because what if he's bringing people over
and shit? But let's say like. But what's it gonna matter? Like if maybe he's looking out for my own interest, but I'm saying like the next time I bring a girl over for Chuff Love Part 2. It's like I bring her over and the living room looks all like upstanding, and then I bring her back into my fucking crib. And all of a sudden she's like, and I just shut the door behind her, I'm like, too late now.
It's like suddenly like walking down the back aisle at a swap meet or something.
That's why I'm going to tell my roommate he can't be around, so I can always take girls into his room and be like, oh, that fucking guy, I don't know.
Yeah. All right, so do we want to talk about any games this week? Should we talk about Battlefield Heroes? You mentioned that.
Battlefield Heroes.
I was going to say, do one more thing, though, before we get into that.
Yeah.
Was just that maybe we should say thank you to people.
I'll
start off with Matt, who works at a Borders here in San Francisco. He was a very cool GFW user, told us that he liked the show a lot and was not creepy or anything like
that.
Wait,
he's getting a thank you for saying hi?
For coming up and being rad and saying how much he liked. Hey, he would.
Fuck, man.
For saying,
price of entry's going up, dude. Where's the fucking candy?
For saying how much he liked the show. He was very cool about it. That's what I'm saying.
Like in person? Or?
Yeah, in person. Oh. He came up, he was very cool, casual, just liked the show. I thought that was rad. That oh, and also nice. Scott Keating for making that awesome picture with me in a Twi'lek as a Jedi. I'll post that up.
He did it. Scott Keating's a comic book artist, illustrator, and he made a personal version of Anthony as a Jedi fighting a battle with the Twi'lek, right?
Wow.
Twi'lek Jedi.
A Twi'lek. That's nice. That's the sexy Jedi, I think.
Yeah, he did her justice too, yeah.
He did her justice. And then, like, we wanted to thank PJ Sangalang. And also Nason. I don't have his first name.
Is that his real name, Sangalang?
Yes, it is.
Well, stop laughing, Ryan.
Both of them sent us candy from England, and super appreciated. Nothing bad, nothing like, no anecdotes about this stuff other than that, like, everyone's loving it on the floor. I said, you know, I basically tell everyone to come into the office and try stuff out. And we have a certain, that's part of the deal with, I was going to say we have a staff member who comes from a former Commonwealth country. That'll be fine. He's from, I won't say who it is, but he's, and he was very appreciative to see some of his old favorites back in, within his grasp. So he stuffed his face with some of it too. So yeah, now on to, we played quite a bit of Battlefield Heroes beta over the weekend. And let's start off with, I guess, we also just put up some preview impressions that I did with Rory Mannion. He freelances for us. And so where to begin? I think in there we began with a negative, just for fun's sake. So we can start with, you, Anthony.
Okay, well, I mean, I my first impression of playing without friends is I didn't like it right off the bat, just because I was getting pissed off at how much it took to kill someone.
Mm-hmm.
But then the bad thing is everyone was taking forever to kill someone until we figured out the way to kill people in 2 seconds.
Yeah.
And now the game's I just think that game has some serious balance issue. Now, granted, this is not even open beta, so I mean, you can say what you want, but just from hearing you and Rory talk, I mean, it seems like DICE has had problems in the past.
Right.
With balancing Battlefield games.
Yeah,
so I am a little worried about that.
The first thing, I want to address all that. The first thing is that, yeah, it people are resilient. And if you're used to Battlefield games where it's click, click, you shoot people twice, you know, you go into prone and hit someone in the head twice, and they're next thing they're dead and they're respawning. Now, there are times when you can have a battle against another tank, or you're on foot fighting a tank, or you're just two infantry guys fighting, and it goes on and on and on, and it starts to feel like you're playing Soul Calibur on training mode or something, where no one's taking any damage, and the only way to end it is if someone jumps out of the fucking ring, and you're what, do we all got God mode on, or you know, what does it take to kill someone? And that's different. I mean, the stated reason for doing that one is the accessibility, so you can go in and you're not dead and you're not spawning. You can have some fun, and moreover, you can have an actual, you know, a sense that you're fighting someone. You're jumping around, you're hiding behind rocks, you're healing, and another comparison there would be kind of like PvPing in an MMO. I mean, there's so much about this game that reminds me
definitely
of playing, you know, like an Age of Conan or something, but mixed with the elements of a shooter. And I think they're really onto something there, and it could be super fantastic. You got some sense for that with Call of Duty 4, because you know how they introduced all the character customization and different loadouts and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so people there started borrowing from the lexicon of MMO play, builds and stuff, the notion that you assemble a character based on, you know, these attributes and stuff. But here, because the powers are all active, and it's not just, you know, passive things, passive in Call of Duty's case would be dropping grenade when you die, or going into last stand when you die. I mean, you don't activate those on your own. They just happen. And in this game, there's tons, all the number keys on your keyboard, you assign a different power to. And with all that going on at the same time that you're shooting, that you're healing yourself and doing weapons and cloaking and stuff, you get some of that cool, you know, aspect you get from MMO PvP added to this. But instead, it just means it takes so long to play that it's kind of off-putting when you're used to, you know, the pace of COD death or Battlefield death.
A balance that they'll be able to find,
yeah,
right?
All of this, everything that we're talking about, I'll say otherwise if it's not provisional, if it's not something that can be altered. And knowing DICE, it all will be altered again and again and again, because with the Battlefield series, they continue to patch. They're still issuing patches for Battlefield 2, and every one of those patches changes the way that the game operates in some way, and the way that it feels to play the game. So in this case, I'm sure that's going to change. But the problem now is that we ultimately found ways to kill people, like Anthony was saying. You're like, okay, well, if you spec your character just a certain way, it almost feels like an exploit, because now suddenly you could just rip the shit out of everyone.
So what's the difference? I mean, what are you doing?
Pick a gun. For example, you pick the gunner class, and you pick a weapon if you're on the Royal Army, which is the equivalent of the Allies. You pick a gun called the Broderick, and if you're on the National Army, the equivalent of the Axis, you pick Wolfgang's Wonderful. And then to make it even better, you get this power up that increases your accuracy and rate of fire. And there's five levels of advancement for that. So you invest all of your points just in maxing that. Mm. So you're going to let everything else go and you're going to max that out. But with just that power and that gun, you win every fucking firefight because you'll just destroy everyone. And you can, and since it improves accuracy, that buff, you can hit people. It doesn't matter. If someone's trying to snipe you on a hill and you're like, oh, look at that sniper. And you've got like the biggest machine gun firing from the hip and you beat that guy.
Right.
I guess.
So again, that's just like, sounds like classic.
Exactly.
Balance, classic MMO balance.
Right. I mean, it is like MMO balance. It's like the way Sean's saying, like every exploit we found was always like taking one power that was pretty good and putting so many points into it that, right. You know, most people are going to try and make a class that uses like a little bit of every power. Mm-hmm. And when we just find one power and just like exploit the crap out of it, that's when it would like.
Right.
Yeah.
And in fact, what you're doing exactly what they need to have be done.
Precisely.
That's right?
Why I mean, they need to see that you guys are doing shit like that so they can fix it.
We were base like spawn camping these guys at their base, and everyone was saying like, "Fuck, give us mercy, please." And I said no. and I typed back. I was like, "No, this is for the good of the game and for dice." Yeah.
Because another exploit build we have is that. If you're in a tank, you have this wrench power, and it basically just auto repairs your tank. So we max that out, and then we roll in a group with like three of us in tanks, and we've all got this power. So you can't kill us. We can heal faster than anyone can damage us. And with the three of us combined, we just roll in like a posse to their base and just laugh and just shoot. I mean, it still takes us a while to kill them. It's easier to run someone over with the tank than it is to shoot them, because even the blast doesn't do that much damage now. But so all that will get around. But here's the deal. With dice, it's always like a work in progress even after the games come out. And it's fine. Like, I mean, and if people have been listening to this podcast for a long time know how much I love the Battlefield series. Despite all the flaws and fuck-ups, it's so much fun to play. And I spend so many hours playing these games. But to be fair, like Battlefield 2, when it came out, I mean, at first, the Black Hawk helicopter was unstoppable. You just get in that. It was a point machine. You get a whole bunch of teammates in there, and they're repairing the whole time you're flying. Your guns just instantly kill anyone. And so we had fun with that. And then the next patch came out, and then they dialed it back so much that it was then useless. It was only good for ramming into shit, you know? And so that happened. And then same thing with aircraft were so powerful, and the AA sucks. And then they made the AA just do this like absurd stuff where you'd shoot it. And basically once someone pressed the fire button on an AA, it was going to hit a plane. Even if it had to defy logic in the game's own physics, like it would, the missiles would look like spirographs and stuff. And all of a sudden it would be going one way and you'd fly by it. And next thing it's like, Roadrunner type shit, you know, some Acme missile that's like going after you. And so they're always, and they never really got, I don't think they ever got it to a point where everyone's going to be satisfied. And the deal is that there's so many weapons and vehicles, and you have to balance that across. You have X many classes and X many loadout combinations possible, and then multiply that with vehicles and then squad dynamics. And now you've got all these powers to further complicate that balance. And then they're sometimes working in concert. So like if we also found out that we have that gunner shit that we were talking about, right? Then another one of us can pick, again, this should sound familiar to you, Ryan, from MMO play. One of us can pick a soldier and use this like heal all ability, and you buff that out. So then you just sit in between two of your gunners, healing them and yourself faster than they can be hurt while they kill everyone in an instant, you know? So that's going to take a lot of time, and I think people should just be like used to these specific ones we're talking about are going to be addressed, but there's always, I suspect there will always be something.
There's always,
and it's always going to be updated to fix that, but it's just,
right.
It'll keep the game fresh too.
I mean, it's fun to just, there are other little nitpick things that like I noticed that bother me too, like that there's no assists for kills. And it's like infuriating when you spend like 10 minutes shooting a guy and then someone rolls up with the last bullet and is like, boop, and so they get the kill. Or we also found out when we were killing time one time that there's basically no way to get a team kill. So like even when Sean was flying around in a plane and me and Rory went and stood in the field so Sean could ram us with the plane and kill us, it said, instead of saying like Sean did a team kill, it said, oops, you had an accident to me, like I had done something wrong. And I was like, that's going to piss
But it's not off. That bad. You can have fun with it. As you figure it out, all you have to do is hold E and you'll jump on the plane's wing.
Right as they come by, you just hop on.
But that's another thing. And that ups the ante, and then it's fun. Then I'm like, if I'm flying the plane, I'm like, okay, well, then I'm going to go take you out over the ocean and tell you to jump off. And if you don't jump off, then I'll ram us all down into the water. You know, like, I mean, that stuff's norm. The point assist thing, there's no reason for that not to be in there. The Battlefield 2142, that the engine, the latest rev that this is based on, had it, and it worked well. And it's like, yeah, like Anthony's saying, they need it so bad.
Yeah, hopefully they're not just dumbing down the point system.
The biggest thing that bothers me about it right now, though, is that none of the social aspect is there yet. So, like, none of, like, I can't make a friends list or something like that. So, like, right now when me, Sean, and Rory want to play together, like, there's only a play now button. Mm-hmm. So we have to hope that we get in the same game. So sometimes Sean and Rory will get in the same game, and then I'll just have to escape the game, try and rejoin, mm-hmm. escape the game, rejoin until I magically get placed.
Yeah. But this again. This is all beta.
Yeah. I think it's going to come together well.
The tabs. They have friends tabs and group tabs, and ultimately they say that it's going to work so that, like, if we're, like, if we form the equivalent of a clan, we can just kind of like Halo party system. We make a party, and we can all jump to another server at the same time. For the stuff that matters, like the stuff that's not going to change, like I have to say I'm pretty happy with the game. The entire time we played and we were playing with Rory and Matt and James, no one bitched at all about the point of view. That was a big thing going in. Everyone's like, it's third person. What's up with that? But just like think about that now, right? No one even mentioned it. And it wasn't until this morning. I'm like, oh yeah, like that's probably something people want to know about. I was like, it doesn't matter to us. I guess, like, for some reason, it's not an issue.
I'm so used to it from console games, console shooters.
There is no first person at
all? You can't zoom in if you want to?
There's none at all. Wow. It's always enforced third person.
That's awesome. I'm going to play this game.
It's for Ryan.
I actually think it gives you a better view of people that are around you, which is, like, important in that game.
It changes the way.
You play console shooters, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Chris, was it? I call you Donnie?
Sammy.
Sorry.
Chris. Yeah.
You play console shooters?
Yes.
So would you be into a first person? I mean, would you play a first person shooter on the PC? Have you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would. It doesn't. Perspective doesn't matter to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's going to be really interesting if this kid stays here long enough to actually go through puberty. Hear the voice change.
Yeah. Or we reveal that, like Ryan, this is just another voice that one of us can do, but we're not going to tell people which one of us is doing
it. If any of us could actually do this voice, I'd be scared.
Yeah, I like console shooters.
As far as Battlefield here is going, and like Sean saying, I do think it's good. I mean, even like today, like I was thinking, like, man, when I get home, I want to play some more of that. Mm-hmm. Like, even all like the little nitpicking things aside, which I have confidence that they will fix because they have a good track record. It's just like, and the fact that in the end it is free to play. Like,
when's it going to come out? Is it this year?
Well, it's not going to come out in that sense. It'll have a public beta phase next. Like where they bring in more people, right? So if they gave, like, for example, I don't know if these are the numbers, if they put out 10,000 invites, then the next they'll put out 100,000, and then they'll say, like, this is launch version 1, I'm guessing at the end of the year or early next year. I don't know. They keep, you know, jumping around with it and stuff. But it's a good system, and it's got, because of the unlocks and the ability to power up and stuff. That's another thing. If they figure out how to parcel that out at just the right pace to get people so they want to keep playing to level up and get these rewards, they'll keep playing. And when they keep playing, that means that they'll keep being exposed to advertising if that's how they decide to do it. Right now, there's none.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see any associate because I'm sure people aren't going to say, like, well, I want to buy some ads for your beta. You know, but yeah. A couple other points about, like, it gets fun. The one difference with the perspective, it's kind of like SOCOM where you play this game with manipulating the camera where you go up next to a building and then you kind of, like, use the camera to look around either side of the building. And it also works in your advantage with walls. So if you're, and it helps the game in this respect. So say if you're infantry with a bazooka or dynamite and you're fighting a tank, you can go behind a wall, but because of the point of view, you could still see over the wall to throw your dynamite over the wall at the tank. Mm-hmm. Whereas in the past, in a first-person view, you couldn't. You'd have to go peek out the sides or something or just blindly
That helps the player.
Yeah, and all that stuff's fine. Just getting the classes interesting, and if they could keep introducing more things. I mean, there's two maps right now. I was excited. One is just infantry and jeeps. The other is like big tanks and planes and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And both have their own, you know, vibe to them.
Have you tried the planes?
Yeah, they're cool. They're definitely handling's familiar to people that are used to Battlefield, but like cartoony bit. They're a lot more forgiving with.
So is the kind of thing I could fly? Have you ever seen me try to fly like a helicopter?
I got to be honest. Yeah, I flew the airplane and I was having a really hard time being accurate. But Sean and Rory handle them like
I flew you upside down.
The world's biggest pros. Yeah, they'll fly me upside down under bridges. When I'm doing it, I'm like having a hard time like flying in a circle consistently because it's just hard to use the mouse for me.
That's the other frustrating thing for me is I'm used to planes being like the god weapon in Battlefield. So it's always been so good to people that like to fly, and in this. it's like it the plane, you could tell it was designed as an anti-tank, as a combination of like an air taxi and an anti-tank weapon, but it even sucks against tanks, dude. You got to strafe people for so long for the tank to blow up. But the best use of it is to, like what he was saying, I do is against the enemy. You catch anyone in the open and you basically like run them through your propeller. You just go down to the ground and drive through them and like go up, and that works really well.
And it plays really well to like the cartoony aspect of the game, because it looks so ridiculous when you're like three guys are running across a field and then all of a sudden an airplane just comes, swoops down and just swoops off with one of them, and you just see him die and you're like, yeah, okay.
So I'm looking forward to playing more. Like, yeah, we're gonna play tonight. And
yeah,
sucks. I would like to play with you know, people that listen to the podcast and stuff right now, but right now it's just a crapshoot.
Yeah.
Because you can't. But if you ever see anyone with the suffix of anus, then it's someone in our group. So there's a number we've already got, because you have to make a new account for each character. This is so not even funny, but it's just like, this is how it is. So we've got like cozy anus, inhabited anus, exploited, prolapsed anus, exploited anus, whatever else is on there. Triumphant anus, like
jubilant anus.
Yeah, like people get. So that's, if you see that, then. And say hi to the assholes.
I was gonna say yesterday when all of us were running around with our exploit classes, we were all something anus, and we were all shirtless wearing our underwear with handlebar mustaches.
That's the other thing. We make like, yeah, like characters that are either, they look like the village people's sailor dude.
Yeah.
Or they're like my guy's naked. I have a grenade earring and I got a whip hanging off my waist. And like, I mean, it's just all stuff like, Rory's got a naked guy with a bedroll and he always tells us to come with him to like.
So I assume there's no armor in class, right?
Stuff's cosmetic.
It's just cosmetic totally.
Already there's like an enormous like variety of like costumes you could put on, and you can tell that they're going to just keep adding it so that it's going to be the most absurd shit ever. It'll be like City of Heroes where you can make any random thing you want.
So how are you keeping track of your teammates then?
Their name appears over their head.
That's it? Just a name and color?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Their name appears right over their head.
Plus, yeah, in general, it's pretty easy to tell where the action's going on. I don't know. I never have any trouble sticking with teammates.
This shit is fun, man. I want to go play right now. I'm serious. So,
it would be a great commercial for the game if you just took off your headphones now and left.
Yeah, just walk right in.
Brought to you by Electronic Arts.
Give me some more beta codes, man. I'll spread the love. this is the time.
Since I was going in the cheesy giveaway voice.
Chris, do you want to announce this or do you want me to?
You can do it.
Okay. We are proud to announce a giveaway, GFW Radio exclusive giveaway. We have three.
World exclusive.
Four. Razer brand Boom Slang Collector's Edition gaming mice. Only 10,000 were made in total. The one I'm holding in my hand is number 1,584.
Seriously? They only made 10,000?
So this is like the snowflake of mice. And it can be yours. And furthermore, it's shaped like an Afro pick.
I thought it was shaped like an hourglass.
An Afro pick is probably closer. I just drew a little thing here for you. So look at that and you tell me that's a little closer to an Afro pick, right?
Yeah.
So it's ergonomically
that
designed.
That can also be a Jufro pick, by the way.
Well, it doesn't matter. I mean, like, yeah, it's just...
I'm just saying it's not
just
necessarily
a hair
limited
pick, a wiry hair pick
to Afros.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's no... People know it that way. It's like, you know, it's familiar.
Fair enough.
Dude, nice Jufro pick. Like, you can say that's a, like, do you have an, can I borrow your Afro pick? People know what you're talking about. You say Jufro pick and they think you're trying to be funny.
I'm just saying, when I was in high school and I had kind of a Jufro, I didn't call it an Afro. I called it a Jufro.
Can I see a photo of that?
No.
Oh. Anyways.
Back to our contest.
Back to the contest.
Oh, yeah. So what is this thing? What is in my hand? What the fuck is going on?
To get the mouse, you have to
maybe this is why we don't have too many sponsors. Can't get through one 10-second ad.
You want to go to 1UP.com and you go to boards.1UP.com. And when you're there, you want to click the gear forum. And then at the top, there's a thread called the Boom Slang Giveaway.
Yeah.
You go in there and you take a little survey. It's not going to hurt you. You just answer a few questions.
They're not too personal, right?
Yeah, you just say, would you or not, would you or wouldn't you date Anthony? Would you, have you already sent him a PM? stuff like that. And then you're entered in the contest in the drawing. And then you might win one of these Afro picks excuses for a mice.
Hey now.
No, it's actually really nice. It comes in a collector's edition box.
It's got a very nice steel box.
It's fancy.
And in general,
very fancy box.
In general, Razer makes really good mice.
Razer does make good mice.
This is precision.
It's green.
It's green?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Yeah. So there it is. We've had these for over a month, and we've kept forgetting.
No, we've had them longer than that since I started at 1UP for a really long time.
And we kept. When did you start at 1UP? I thought you're here for take your son to work day.
Shut up. June or July?
Has it been that long?
Yeah.
See, we keep forgetting week after week. So they're here, and we're ready to
Give away some. What are they called? Boom slangs?
The boom slang. Mm-hmm.
That's a good name.
Razer boom slang.
City like that.
Well, it's a type of snake. Yeah. I think the Razer line of mice, they're all named after some kind of serpent. It's like the Serpent Society in Marvel Comics. Mm-hmm. You know, they got that sexy chick anaconda who squeeze you up something tight. That's a real character.
I believe you.
You don't know about the Serpent Society?
Not really.
All right.
Speaking of comics, what comics everyone been buying lately?
Wait, can I ask one more question?
We got more game stuff to cover.
Okay, do that, but also I want to ask a comic question. The Shadow League that gets mentioned in Dark Knight, not Dark Knight, in the first one, in Batman Begins, because I watched both again this weekend. And in Batman Begins, the whole thing where Liam Neeson is telling him, now you're going to belong to
the League of Shadows.
It's
called the League of Assassins in the comics.
All right, I was going to ask that. Okay, so that was actually a thing that happened in the comic books before, that whole plot point.
Ra's al Ghul's a character in the comics, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got like a nasty Bin Laden beard in the comics, though. He does, dude.
Well.
I just needed to know. I didn't know if the movie made that up or if that was part of the canon.
They kind of changed the name, but it's part of the comics, yeah.
All right, thanks. I can sleep better tonight now.
A lot of people have been asking for comic recommendations.
Yep.
So I do want to give a few. And you might have read some of these. I always recommend Joe Sacco's books. He does, it sounds pretentious, but comics journalism. But mm-hmm. he has a book called Palestine, and he has another book called Safe Area Garajda, which is about the Bosnian War. Mm-hmm. And he... basically, yeah. I mean, he did the work that any normal reporter would go and do, and writes his notes and then produces it in comic form. And I think both of those books
quite good.
Are excellent.
I did read Palestine, but I called it Israel.
That's what you called it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I saw you grimace when I even said that. God, man. Like,
I'm just joking.
Acting like
it's a fine book.
The Protocols of the Elders of Zion or something. Instead, it's this fantastic bit of journalism. And I recommend Vagabond to quite a few people. It's based on... it's manga. It's manga. It's based on the novels, the Japanese novels. What were they called, Ryan? Musashi? It's like a Musashi cycle or saga or something.
Musashi? Yeah. I mean, Book of Five Rings?
Yeah. So okay. It's an adaptation of that. And it's been going for quite some time. It's got excellent art that's not your typical, manga fare. Well, like it was, you know what I mean by that? Like you see those books, it's like, learn how to draw anime.
But I'm just saying, isn't it? And the other thing that impressed me, and the guy that writes is the same guy that illustrates it, right?
Yeah.
That's mind blowing to me.
So it's good. And it's well paced. The character works excellent. And it's like, even the fight choreography is just like really well thought out. A lot of times in comic books, so we've talked about this before, it's just, you just draw someone in some like slightly athletic looking pose and that means they're fighting. Whereas in this case, he very clearly communicates like, this is the motion this guy performed, this is what this guy did, and here's how it's happening. I mean, it's very easy to animate in your own, in your mind's eye.
Well, if you're recommending Vagabond, then I'm going to go ahead and recommend Lone Wolf and Cub along the same lines.
Lone Wolf and Cub is good too. I would say that they're both different. Lone Wolf and Cub has got there it's deficient in, I mean, as far as like the martial arts stuff goes, it gets fairly ridiculous.
Yeah, does.
You're talking about a guy in that he fights like 1,000 people. But
does,
the stories...
with his cart.
The stories are pretty good in Lone Wolf and Cub. I mean, he does some interesting stuff with characters and like with the time setting. But what's always disturbed me about that guy's books, they've been publishing that same team's other... It's like something, the Assassin and some other like ninja book. But it's basically there's overlapping characters, same art, same writer. But there's just this kind of like... I don't know, this like unhealthy fascination with like rape scenes and stuff like that in that guy's books. It happens over and over again.
Not a whole lot in Lone Wolf and Cub. Well, yeah, no, there is.
There's a lot. There's a lot of, like, really... I mean, which is fine. You could do something with it and say something about it, but at times it seems like it's almost just there to be titillating. And those are the times when I don't like that guy's work. But other than that...
That's a fair point. I'd have to go back.
Path of the Assassin, I'll bring in and show you. And there's times when you're just like, really? Like, there's 15 pages of this? Like, what point are you trying to make? You just...
Right.
It's like the artist was like, I just want to draw some, like, naked women in some, like, brutal scenarios. Now I'm making Jeff feel bad. Hey, you started...
I feel bad.
You shouldn't have gave me that dirty look about Palestine.
I recommend Booster Gold.
Who?
I can't back you up on that one, man.
Booster Gold? What?
The fucking football player from the future.
Oh, that thing?
Back in time.
Shit. Yeah.
Booster Gold's awesome.
To play football in the past.
Really? You like that?
Well, Sean's kind of being a little reductive, but yeah, it's cool.
Navi is going to be afraid to make a recommendation without Sean belittling it.
Never mind. Don't read my comments.
Well, you can do fight for it. Stand
only
up. Like, you
read
can talk
what
shit
Sean
on,
tells you.
Like, I invite you to, like, just rip the shit out of, like, one of the books that I mentioned, and then I'll, like, defend it. I'll tell you why.
I was kind of being sarcastic because,
like,
I knew.
Tell, dude, Booster Gold, man.
I was baiting you because I knew that
you can be a Booster Gold booster.
Huh?
Like, boost that guy. Come on.
It was pretty much like you say. He's like a football player from the future. Who travels back?
The excellent defense.
Who steals?
Ryan rests his case.
Who steals defense. Like some armor and then travels back in time to become a famous superhero?
He went back in time to fuck up a field goal. So, this shit is sad.
The problem is that I read a lot of comics, but I almost can't recommend any. Because basically all the comics I read are passed down from you anyways.
Well, we've talked about Walking Dead.
Yeah, Walking Dead.
Astro City is one of my old favorites. I don't know if it's still around.
My problem
is I quit 10 years ago, so.
Doesn't Robert Kirkman write Walking Dead? Is that guy?
He does, yeah.
Oh. Yeah, he does. And then, I don't know, I've been trying to read some of the other stuff that...
Ooh.
What's up?
I just thought of a couple other, like, ones.
Hit it up.
Optic Nerve. Unfortunately, the publication schedule is as irregular as it gets, like even worse than Chris Ware's stuff. But there are three collections out there, and those are fantastic. They're no non-genre, no superhero stuff. Mm-hmm. It's just about a guy who lives in Berkeley, and so it's always like relationship stories and friendships and just like weird, you know, things that happen in daily life. And
it's sort of in the 8-ball camp.
It is, yeah, but without the surreal aspect, without the surreal element. 8-Ball's good, too. I like that. But the Adrian Tomine's stuff and Optic Nerve is also great for, like, when you want to get a girlfriend to go to the comic store with you and to, like, prove to her that, like, it's not a total, like, waste of your time.
Sure.
And, like,
no.
I think that... Yeah, well, Chris, what do you think about that?
What kind of girls are you hanging out with?
There are plenty of girls that think comics are stupid and stuff like that. I mean...
Well, I would think they're stupid. If I walked in and it has nothing to do with like the gender, the sex. It has to do, I think, with the exposure and familiarity. So say like if you're a girl and you didn't have a brother and you weren't used to seeing him and then you walk in. So because of that, it's only you hear about him and stuff. It's really casual. You never really sat down and read one. Then you walk into a comic store and you see this rack and it's covered and every single book has got some garish cover with someone in tights, right? Or it's got a woman who's like cleavage just busting out and you look and you see Booster Gold's the first thing. You see a motherfucker in a blue and gold outfit, and you open it up, and he's holding like a space football. Like, would there be some defect in your gender or sex to think that it's stupid?
No. I mean, you just don't. I'm not the type of person to judge like before if I don't know enough about it.
We need to teach you something. We need to correct that.
So do you read
that shortcoming?
Wow. But what kind of girls do you hang out with that are going to judge you for what? Having fucking
Well, I'm not saying like, I mean, we're not talking about like passing serious, you know, definite judgment on you. But I mean, you know, I mean, you'll just feel better
about
it.
We're just talking
about
stereotypical people. Yeah, I mean, okay. These aren't the type of people we actually make.
When I was reading a lot of comic books, I guess it's not 10 years, but it was a bunch of years ago. And I was having this phase where I was really into them. And I was reading them on the BART train. I was also usually reading a novel at the same time, but there was a period where I was really trying to catch up. And I started reading comic books on the BART train. And I really felt self-conscious all the time on the train. I felt like, you know, look at that retard. Half the time, like, look at that grown man reading fucking Green Lantern. What a... Guy, is Asperger's? What's going on?
I always felt the same thing. I won't read comics on I don't know why. And, like, why should you care? The people
right, exactly.
The most,
it bothered
like,
me that I was bothered.
People in the world.
Right. It bothered me that I was bothered, and yet I was.
Then you couldn't help it.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not way too
I sort of kind of want to look up and, like, yeah, what?
I do have a question about
it. I went to Berkeley. Fuck you.
Yeah, okay.
I got a degree in English Lit.
I do have a question about a comic because I'm hoping one of you guys can answer it because yeah. I want to know if it's good. Because there was a Punisher series that I think was done by the same guy that did Preacher. Is that
yes,
true?
And it was outstanding.
Was it outstanding? Yeah, because they're about.
Well,
to put,
it,
well, the reason I'm
it starts great.
The reason I'm asking is that they're about to put it all into an omnibus, all collection and releases a cheaper omnibus.
Well, there's two things to note.
I was considering pre-order it.
I can be the comic.
This is Garth Ennis, isn't
here.
It?
Yeah, Garth Ennis.
Well,
yeah.
Actually, Garth Ennis did multiple runs on The Punisher. The first one, which you might be talking about, was illustrated by Steve Dillon, who also
that's
illustrated...
That's what I want.
He's using this voice to disguise the fact that he actually does know all this
I'm
shit.
Making fun of myself, yeah. Okay. And this first run was more or less action comedy, and it shared a lot of qualities with The Preacher, but was nowhere near as good. Let me give you an example. The Punisher has a run-in with the Daredevil in one episode, and he doesn't like the idea that Daredevil, that Matthew Murdock thinks he's better than everyone, that he's a lawyer, and that he can live this double life where he can play by the rules of the system, the court system, and at the same time be a vigilante. Mm-hmm. So what he does is he captures him, and he uses a sonic device that disrupts his super hearing, and he handcuffs him and ties him up, and then he sets him up on the roof of a building, and he says, I'm about to assassinate this man. You've got a 357 Magnum with a single bullet taped into your hand, and you can shoot me to stop me. I forget. He had something else, too, so that he couldn't just shoot the sniper rifle out of the Punisher's hand. He had to actually shoot him to kill him. There was something about it, the way that it was set up. And he said, well, you know, if you want me to not snipe this guy, you're going to have to kill me. And then it got to the point where Daredevil was very frustrated and actually pulled the trigger. And, of course, it was a blank or something. And then he turned at him and was more or less like, welcome to my world. He let them know exactly what it is to be the Punisher and to do the things that the Punisher does. Okay, that's enough of that. But it was actually a cool scene. He has some, like, there's some funny shit where he, like, runs into Spider-Man and he basically uses Spider-Man as, like a baseball bat and calls it a team up. And
then there's the whole Russian guy, right?
Guy who gets his head transplanted on, like, a giant woman with enormous breasts.
Yes.
And it's totally funny. But
he's not making that up.
Run,
yeah.
After this run, Garth Ennis continued. He picked up different artists and started it again and then did the serious ones.
I'm talking about the run you're talking about.
Pretty shitty in my mind.
I'm talking about the run you were just analyzing.
I think the omnibus, comes with all of them, though. So I'll definitely.
I wouldn't get that. Yeah, I'm saying like you could borrow.
Oh.
I actually have a hardcover, the one I was just describing, because when the Punisher game, when the Punisher game came out on like the PS2, Xbox era stuff, they sent that to us. So I got like an autographed one that I'll give to you.
Fuck yeah.
I don't like it. Fine. You can have it.
I have a question though. Does the guy in that comic, does he draw it like exactly like he draws the Preacher? Like, does it just look like the Punisher looks like the Preacher, but in a Punisher outfit? Because when I saw the Wolverine, comic, it looked like the guy from Preacher with chops. And I was like, there's Wolverine.
Yeah, there's some limits to Steve Dillon's like ability to differentiate like certain types of faces, like the tough guy sort of thing. But what's good about him, though, is he has a big range of expressivity.
Does.
So people can actually do things other than like grit their teeth and look like they're constipated. let's take a break from the comics and make a little detour into games real quick. Before I rattle off on Crisis Warhead,
yeah.
Anyone else playing some recent releases or soon to be released PC games that you want to bring in for show and tell?
I've been playing a lot of games.
I did that on purpose.
Since I work in reviews
with Ryan.
Playing
a lot.
But I just haven't been playing as many brand new PC games.
Do you want to break embargo and talk about Demigod?
Shaking his head.
I'm a contractor.
All right.
I'm an at-will employee.
So everything that we've been playing is basically things we can't talk about. That kind of sucks.
Okay. I forgot to talk about Crisis Warhead last time.
We should just say that Demigod, we can talk about that next week.
Mm-hmm. And I'll be able to break embargo on, I think the embargo's up on Spore in a week? Longer than that.
Yeah.
I forgot. That's what I've been playing.
Yeah, you'll be able to, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's not that we aren't playing PC games, it's just there's a lot of shit we can't necessarily talk about right now.
It hurts. It hurts not to be able to talk.
And we've been playing a lot of PC games, but it's the same old shit no one wants to hear about, like Company Heroes and all that sort of stuff. I mean,
for us, Company Heroes, World of Warcraft, for Rydog.
I've been playing some more WoW as well, I got to admit, like during that time when your computer was broken and our vent channel kind of died.
You get the Lich King.
How about
beta?
The Warhammer beta?
No.
We keep getting barked at on a couple forums for not talking about it on this podcast.
Why don't you? I'm not in that beta.
Well, we've been talking about it on Legendary Thread, so I haven't wanted to double dip
right,
in this podcast.
Yeah, I've had users PMing me about what server do I play on and all that, but...
We really need to
Well, there's only been a couple servers. Yeah. I mean, it's been one of two, literally.
We really need to play Red Alert 3. We have, I know, like, Anthony, Jeff, we all have the beta installed. At first, we weren't able to get it to work. There was some sort of problem with our EA, like, IDs, and it just wouldn't work. That's been resolved, and now we need to play it. But excuses, I think we've been playing Battlefield Heroes. Another thing for me is, like, every time we go to consider it, we're either playing Company Heroes or something, and it always happens. I bring this up all the time where it's like, that game just... like changed my expectations for like the way those kind of games can work, that when the other people in the game are like, yeah, it's just like every other EA RTS and like you do this and this and this, and like as soon as he starts breaking it down, we're all just like, yeah.
Well, I honestly haven't seen Red Alert 3 at all, so I don't want to judge, but this series does historically have a reputation for ignoring, you know, whatever recent RTS developments are around at the time and just doing its own same thing again.
Right.
So that's the reputation that series has had. But yes, that said, I do want to give it a fair
shake. I just hear a lot of, like, from our friends, it's the usual, like, yeah, it's just another game where you build as much shit as you can and all throw it at each other and see what's left standing. And I'm sure that's probably an idiotic
None of us have played it. So we will play it here on this podcast.
I like,
and we will
I do like RTSs like that, but it's like you're saying, like, once you play something like Company Heroes where there's so many nuances of terrain and the ability to retreat and stuff, it just changes the way that you want to play an RTS. So I'm sure it's good in its own right, it's just that it might not be the best.
And it's like, and it's subjective too, like, so if you absolutely love the kind of games that we're talking about, if you love, you know, Command and Conquer in general and that sort of thing, like you'll love it, you know. And then the kind of, for me, it's like I really wasn't into the RTS, so it was like the Company Heroes mode was like, here's a way to get into it, you know, and it's different or something. But so, okay, so for Crisis Warhead, I have played at E3, I played a level of the single player, but for the multiplayer that I played recently, it was just the equivalent of Team Deathmatch. Now they are also revising the existing Power Struggle mode and some of the other content. I didn't get to see that, but what I played, it really seemed like a matter of them just acknowledging that just what people want from competitive online shooters has been changing, and it's not so much bragging about how many people you can have in the game, which is interesting for me to see that with Resistance 2 on console, they're still going in that direction. They're still going to try that, where like the big bullet points to boast about are size and the breadth of vehicles and things like that, you know. And Power Struggle, I mean, there's probably a number of reasons why it didn't really catch on, but I mean, I'm not saying it was a failure or anything, but I mean, by really catch on, meaning giving like COD4, Team Fortress 2 a run for their money, if you were to look online and see how many people were in servers actively playing the game at any time, that doesn't, because it didn't match, it doesn't mean it's a failure, but for whatever reason, it's like, it looks like now they're saying, yeah, let's dial it back and let's just have these like smaller maps where it's just the infantry stuff and... Well, at least include that version of the game in ours. And so it's pretty straightforward. I mean, there's not so much to say about it other than what you might expect it, because you have the suit and it's got the four power settings on it that you can, you know, so you can put on strength and you can jump really high. So they'll make some maps where there's like a lot of verticality, and then it's in your benefit to be able to jump up and down a lot. And I like that kind of map. I mean, there's a really cool Team Fortress 2, I mean, a Half-Life 2 deathmatch map called Avalon. It was user made, but it was made by a guy who had like a lot of experience mapping for Quake and Doom and Counter Strike and all this other stuff. And it was basically like this floating castle. And whenever you would jump off the side of it, you would land on the top of the map. And so the whole thing worked by like people basically jumping down, like imagine like a giant wedding cake and going up and down the thing. And when they jump off the side of it, then they come back down on the top. It was a really fun map. And that kind of, one of the maps kind of had that feel to it where it's like King of the Hill, you know, you're always like in transit back and forth. And another one sort of privileged people who could use cloaking effectively, because otherwise you're going to get sniped, you know, there's like big fields of fire and stuff. But the game is still kind of like, I think performance, more and more, it's proving to me, like, in multiplayer games, like, really one of the most important things. Like, I'm already having, I think I already, like, know I like Battlefield Heroes more than Crisis Multiplayer, as weird as that seems, because it's just stable, you know? And then same thing, we've been playing COD4 some more, and right. It's so refreshing.
Why does that seem weird to you? That doesn't seem weird to me at all.
It doesn't seem weird, I guess. Like, maybe I'm just, you know, just patter, just babbling. But,
well, just because Battlefield is being made for that, right? Whereas Crysis, yeah. Isn't the multiplayer more secondary to single player campaign anyway?
And also to say that one of our, like, most important, you know, one of our priorities is going to be performance. Just like Infinity Ward, when they said we are going to make sure this game is always running at 60 frames per second or something. And the payoff is great there, is that when you play, I mean, it just, everything just feels right. Every nuance just feels right. And whereas, like, you know, I'm playing this, and granted, I was playing against people in Germany, so we're going to have some problem there, even on EA's internal internet connection, which is super fast. I mean, you're going to have some latency things. But aside from the latency, as far as able to differentiate what was ping and then what was, like, hardware performance, it's just now and then it kind of starts to chug a little bit. And it just, you know, you're aware that you're not playing it at full settings, which is another thing that's kind of weird. Like, I don't know, for me now, when I'm playing a game and I know that it can look so much better, but I just don't dare do it no matter what computer I'm on, because it's going to, like, start to, like, eat into my performance. That's kind of annoying. Yeah. So it was fun. I think it was fun. But, I mean, my impression, when I said in the preview also, is that it's just the difference between the great kind of multiplayer game, like, you know, COD4, Team Fortress 2, where we're, like, constantly, like, what are we doing? And you just very naturally say, well, let's go play an hour of this, you know. And then the kind that's like, this is cool, but it's not, you're not going to devote yourself to it, you know.
There's always a whole class of first-person shooters where they put in the multiplayer, and I kind of always wonder why. You know, it just sort of feels like they did it for, like, the box, you know, for the bullet point on the box. Not to dismiss it outright. I mean, maybe they have some good ideas or some good maps, but I always sort of feel like, look, if you're not going to be Call of Duty 4 or Team Fortress or Battlefield, if you can't compete on that level, then don't bother, because there's not going to be enough guys who are going to want to get on the server to do this.
And no one will play it anyway.
You know, there's
yeah.
already awesome games out there. I mean, right. It's just the same as, like, you can't just come up with some sort of half-assed MMO, because everybody can already play WoW. So, I would just say, why don't you just commit yourself to the awesome single-player campaign,
right.
Unless you're really going to come up with something cool in multiplayer, like Call of Duty 4
did. When Call of Juarez came out and Turning Point and stuff, those games have multiplayer modes, and it's like,
the darkness.
But no one's even playing.
Right, and so why bother? Why put the resources into that when you're going to get 12 guys sitting on there on the server?
Look what happens when you don't, though. Then the same people, I mean, not literally, but, you know, people in this building, like Bioshock, right? I think it was Wise. Yeah. It didn't have multiplayer, and everyone's
exactly.
like, where's the multiplayer? Where's the multiplayer? And then Darkness comes out, and it's got shitty multiplayer, and then half of the reviews are taken up with people saying the multiplayer sucks. So it's like a hard decision.
Yeah, it's asinine to me. I mean,
there are games, though, that, like, have, like, a decent enough multiplayer that it just adds, like, a little extra fun to the game, like Lost Planet. I thought the single player was fun. I had a good time with it. But I also occasionally liked to pop into the multiplayer and play it casually. It was never, like, good enough to get me hardcore, but it was fun that it was there, I guess. But I wouldn't have cried if it wasn't there at all either, I guess. But I'm just saying, like, sometimes if it's done well enough, it's not, like, a bad thing. It's not.
Yeah, it's cool
detriment.
That it's there, but I mean, like, not from our point of view, though. Like, from our point of view, like, even Call of Juarez, we played a lot of the multiplayer on that just because it was fun to grief, but, like, but from their point of view, I mean, how many more copies was it selling?
It's true.
I
mean,
I think it's more that.
How much
yeah.
money did it take, and how much time did it take to do that? I mean, if it's really, really bare bones, you just take a bunch of assets you have, and you put two people on it, and I know it can be done. Like, when Half-Life 2 Deathmatch came out, only two people made that. And then there was, like, almost no support for it, right? There was just two maps, and those maps weren't, you know.
Just feel there's so many great options in multiplayer that if you're not going to really try to make something cool, if you're just doing it for the hell of it, then just don't.
Yeah.
You know.
Hey, so I have a TV show to recommend.
Oh, great.
I was going to mention it when we were talking about comics.
I meant that sincerely. Great.
Great, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
What is it, Ryan?
It's called Burn Notice.
I've heard of the show.
I'm a little late to this bandwagon since they're on the second season, but it's a show about an ex-spy who gets kind of disavowed by his agency and stuck in Miami doing odd jobs for people while he tries to figure out, like, what happened, why he got burned. And it's got
the burned identity.
What?
I hear he's supposed to be pretty good looking, the main dude.
A lot of the people here who I recommended the show to, they're like, yeah, I heard it's just eye candy for the ladies. Like, okay.
See, I wasn't kidding.
Like, that's shitty of them, too. He looks good, but he's like a good actor. And he's like, I don't know, he's one of the best spies that I've seen performing on television.
What, you've seen the show?
No. Shut up, Sean. Okay, so and Bruce Campbell, he plays like
Bruce Campbell's in it.
Big supporting role.
Well, why don't you say so in the first place? I'm in.
So
he's great.
It's an awesome show. It's on USA, I think, Thursdays. It's good. It's my new favorite show.
The show is also sponsored by Burn Notice, along with Boom Slings.
No, I have nothing to watch now. That, you know, January is when Lost starts.
You need to get the DVDs. You still haven't watched Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah, it's the first season sitting in his goddamn office.
It is, yeah. I have it sitting.
Why don't you take it home and watch it? Same
There's also
the wire.
Books wire you could read.
I could, huh?
I'm just saying.
They still make those?
They have them.
It only
out
takes
there.
Him 5 minutes to read Booster Gold, man. He needs something that lasts longer.
I don't think America's Next Top Dog is done with that season.
Whoa.
You know what it's called?
When's that on?
I don't know. Check your local listings. I went to watch the Democratic National Convention last night, and my TiVo taped fucking like America's Toughest Job or something like that.
Nice. Yeah. What is America's Toughest
that
Job?
That sounds like something Skip might like.
Fucking TiVo.
It's from the makers of the Deadliest Catch. I saw a
really?
Trailer for that, yeah.
So what's America's Toughest Job?
I don't know.
You didn't watch it?
No. I just saw my TiVo recorded the wrong thing.
I don't want to know.
Goddamn TiVo.
Well,
this is one bone fucking dry podcast, let me tell you.
All right, we're out. We were out.
We're out.
An hour ago.
We apologize for this podcast. We'll be back sometime once we're done being ashamed with this week's.